Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on NBC Sports Bay Area.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
All right, back here on the Giants Insider Podcast, presented as always by Wendy's. There was a Wendy's in every airport I was on recently, so it was very, very convenient. Here with Ahmed, we are going to recap the Giants through 50 games because they played 50. They're 24 and 26.
That was fast. I feel like we got to 50 faster this year than
we did. And the one thing I wrote, there's a piece online now that is a slideshow, 5 positives, 5 negatives. The other thing I would point you to, I wrote a piece about Madison Bumgarner's rehab, which is kind of cool. They're using these cameras now, this Rapsodo camera,
I noticed that. And I right away, I go to Javi. I'm like, what is that? Yeah. What are they using? And Javi says proprietary. I can't tell you.
Well, the cat's out of the bag. They don't like to say things about, we've talked about this, they don't like people to know how tech savvy they are, even though they're in the middle of Silicon Valley and we all understand they're probably using this stuff.
Yeah.
But when you have a camera behind your franchise pitcher and then a camera behind the catcher for his bullpen sessions, it gets out there. So basically what they're doing is they can measure his spin rate, horizontal break, vertical break, everything that we see during games they can do during a bullpen session now. And the problem is you need a baseline, and Madison doesn't have one from spring training. You have to have him set up like it's like a concussion test.
Oh, they didn't do it in spring training?
They did it with 15 guys. He was not one of them. But going forward,
I can see Madison just being
on the backfield. But going forward, it's something where you can actually, let's say, you know, hopefully nothing happens with Chris Stratton, but you can get him out there in a bullpen session if he's on the DL and say, hey, his spin rate's 95% of what it is during a game. He's ready for rehab.
And it's just good to know, right, throughout the year. I mean, we're getting that every game throughout the year anyway. But, yeah, that extra kind of, yeah, even in a side session during the year, even if they're not on the DL, just to monitor and how you – maybe give him an extra day. That's interesting.
So that story is online now on our website. I also tweeted it. So check that out. But this is going to be about the 50-game recap. And the first thing I wrote in the recap was that the best thing the Giants have going for them is they play in a terrible division where they're 24 and 26 and they're 2 games out as of us taping right now. The Diamondbacks have lost 13 of 14. The Rockies have just kind of been there all year. The Dodgers, everybody thought they were done. This was not their year. They might have to go in a different direction. Now they're 3.5 out, I believe. So it's a bad division, which helps when you're off to an up and down start.
Yeah, that's the biggest surprise because all off season, all
the three playoff teams,
radio interviews, yeah. It was like the biggest challenge the Giants are going to have is that they're getting perhaps the toughest division in all of baseball. And you're right, 3 playoff teams last year. And that has not been the case. I think the Dodgers bounced back. The Diamondbacks surprised me because they got off to that great start and looked every bit as good as that team was. And so you're thinking, yeah, this makes sense. That's going to be a playoff team, maybe a division winner now with the start the Dodgers had. Rockies haven't been offensively the same team, even though they weren't great offensively last year, still struggling in that department outside of Nolan Arenado and everything that he does all the time, it seems like. But yeah, I mean, that's the positive for the Giants. The negative is that, you know, where are they as a team right now? Bumgarner coming back, but that's the negative where they are. But I think the huge positive is that, yeah, somehow they're in it in this what I thought was going to be the toughest division.
It's weird because there are these guys who you take off teams and it just has tanked some of them. Like the Dodgers without Turner were just not the same. The Giants need Bumgarner, obviously, for the innings in the rotation. I think A.J. Pollock is the guy the Diamondbacks just could not afford to lose another bat, and so he was the guy. So it's been weird, but the Giants, there are positives, there are negatives. We're going to start with the biggest positive, which is that Brandon Belt is really freaking good right now. He is legitimately – you and I have always been on the right side of the Belt Wars. I think, like with a lot of other
right
people.
Side, yeah.
It's admit it. Let's be honest. We've been looking deep into the stats. We didn't care that he hit 18 homers. We understood that advanced metrics said other things about him. But now everything's coming together. He's up there in home runs. He's up there in hits. The batting average is above 300. And the end result is Brandon Belt, as of today, the day before they go to face the Cubs, leads National League hitters in WAR with 2.6. Max Scherzer leads National League with 2.8. I think Scherzer's probably your MVP right now. But Brandon Belt's like legitimately a top three MVP candidate at this point.
100%. And it was before the year that we both, and you said it too, if there's one guy I'm going to pick, even though they've added Andrew McCutchen, even though they've added Evan Longoria.
He would lead the team in OPS.
Yeah, that's what you said. Yeah, you go.
Pretty good about that.
If you can drop that in, we'll drop that into the podcast right now.
You need
right
to go
now.
Find that tweet.
But yeah, I mean, because he's been there, which has always been the weird thing about the Belt Wars, is that he's always been on a team that struggles offensively. He's always been a top two, three offensive performer for them. Just because he wasn't Paul Goldschmidt every year is that people thought he was a failure, and now he's way better than Paul Goldschmidt because Paul Goldschmidt's not even Paul Goldschmidt. So I'm happy to see it. I hope he keeps it going. You know, people say he's a streaky guy. You know, they're, you know, even the guys who are still skeptical are like, well, just wait for that cold stretch to come. Be like, yeah, tell me a baseball player who's not like that. Yeah. I mean, that's every baseball player.
Mike Trout just had a stretch a couple weeks ago. Where
totally. Bryce Harper. I mean,
Bryce Harper had it in early May.
So, yeah, I'm happy to see it. And just the way he approaches the at-bat, I say it every time while we're watching a game. He's down 0-2 or 1-2. I go, you know it's going 3-2.
Yeah.
And it does. And I just enjoy – I enjoy watching him. Outside of the results, yeah, I love watching him hit homers into the Cove and, hit them all around Major League Baseball. But just his approach at the plate is just fun for me to watch.
So you and I have both gotten deep into the numbers the last year or two, and I think, you know, there are a lot of – whether it's Darren Willman, the work he does at Baseball Savant's incredible. MLB has a lot now. Inside Edge Scouting has sent me some stuff that's awesome. And I think that allows us to kind of see what's happened. And you ask, what has happened to Brandon Belt? And you look into it, his ground ball rate's down 10%. So it's hitting the ball in the air more. What do we got here? His other stat. There's one more. His launch angle was up from 16% in 2015 or 16 degrees to 25 degrees.
And that's crazy because he's always been one of the highest on the team.
Yeah.
Like he's always had one of the highest launch angles on the team, and for him to even boost it up a little bit more is incredible. And that hasn't worked for everyone, which is interesting because I looked into the same thing with Brandon Crawford, great May, and I was like, what changed from April to May? It's funny, for Brandon Crawford, his launch angle went down. You know, so it's not this one size fits all, increase your launch angle, as much as, you know, people like to frame it in that respect. It's no, for Brandon Crawford, he was hitting too many fly balls, and fly balls, they, for the most part, have a zero potential batting average. So it's funny that Brandon's increased his launch angle because, you know, he hits the ball hard enough to where that's going to be a benefit for him most times.
You just
anyway.
Got to get it in the air.
You got to get it in the air and hit it hard. You know, hit it hard, get it in the air. For Brandon Crawford, it's been the opposite, but. But yeah, that's interesting that Belt's bumped his up a little bit more. I didn't see that. I'm kind of surprised by that.
It's up quite a bit. So there's positives, there's a negative with everything. What I wrote about the negative with the lineup, and the home runs are way up for the whole team. But you look at, you wonder what they could be doing if the guys that are hitting in the middle of the order, who are supposed to, the three guys we talked about all spring, were doing what they're supposed to. Andrew McCutchen leads the majors in hard hit rate. And he is not having a very good season. When you look at the numbers, he's hitting 237, 376 slugging right now. If the hard hit rate is there, I don't know if that's going to normalize at some point. It should.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we're seeing a lot of strikeouts lately, and maybe he's just going to line into outs all year.
There's a couple weird strike zones with him, too, in Houston.
Yeah, the Garrett Cole strike.
Oh, that was terrible. I mean, it's like Garrett Cole is one of the best pitchers in baseball. Does not need any help, and here you give him 6 extra inches on the outside corner. McCutchen's all year I've looked, you know, I love the exit velocity, and so all year I've looked, and he's been top on the team, like 94 average exit velocity, and so you're right, he's hit the ball hard, hasn't paid off. You just hope he keeps hitting it hard. You know, that's the fear, is that, okay, is he going to be able to keep that up? Because you'd think it would normalize a certain point if you do keep hitting the ball hard, but you hope he keeps doing that. I think the positive with Andrew McCutchen is he's done it before. I mean, last year, the results were not very good in April, May,
better,
and then June throughout the rest of the year, he was, you know, 900 OPS guy. And so I don't see any reason to believe that couldn't happen here for the second half, or not even for the second half, for the rest of the year.
So I'm going to throw two more guys at you. Which one is more concerning? And Evan Longoria has 8 homers, which is one short of what they had from third base all of last season. So that is that has helped. He also has 7 walks and 8 errors. So he has more errors than walks through 50 games, which is shocking. And then the other one, Buster Posey has 2 home runs, Nick Hunley has 5.
Yeah, and Gorky Hernandez has 4.
Gorky Hernandez has 4. So which one are you more concerned about for the next 50 games?
I'm more concerned about, well, you know, it's tough. I think they're both kind of who they are. And if they both keep giving you this, I think that's okay. I mean, Buster, I think we're past the time where we are hoping that Buster's...
It's 20.
Yeah, a big, I think a 10 home run guy, right? If he's a 10...
I guess, which is... it's. Amazing, though, when you look at his second halves the last couple of years, he's kind of counted on these first half homers.
That's
and
true.
He has 2 in 50 games.
But if he's, you know, 310 hitting catcher or 300 hitting catcher who's
he's great, very valuable,
calls the game.
Very valuable.
Yeah, so I think, you know, where he is offensively is kind of where he is, and it's still better. I mean, you look at catchers around Major League Baseball and how he stacks up, even without the power. I mean, he's still one of the best offensive catchers in all of baseball. So I'm not really worried with him. A little worried with Evan because we've seen that. That's been the trend for him. His on-base percentage has gone down his last few years.
Yeah, he doesn't seem bothered by it. He said something a couple weeks ago about who cares about walks.
Right.
Yeah, but you need more than 7.
You know who should care about walks? Evan Longoria, because Brandon Belt has walked ahead of him in some of those, you know, 2-run home runs or 3-run home runs because Brandon Belt was on base ahead of him. And that, I mean, it's not about it's not just about drawing a walk. Yeah, drawing a walk is, it's about not making an out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the main thing. It's like, I don't care if you never walk. It's just about making outs. If you get a hit, you know, 3 times every 10 times at bat, you're a 300 hitter with some power, that's fine. You don't really need to walk at that point. But if you're going to hit 230 or 240 and never walk, then you're starting to get a little borderline.
And he also is going to have, he has Crawford behind him, who's hitting the crap out of the ball. And now, a little scoop here that we had today, Mack Williamson will be in Chicago, as I reported on Thursday morning.
Yeah.
Which means you have Mack behind you, too. So, like you said, I mean, he's benefiting from having Belt in front of him, getting on base. Those guys would benefit from Longoria being on base as they come up. But that'll, you know, we'll see. Those are 2 interesting ones I found from 2 big guys, and it does make you kind of look at the
lineup. What do you think? Do you think, are you worried at all about Longo or Posey?
No, I just think it is more evidence of, you know, he's a league average hitter when you kind of adjust for Park, and which we do now. I mean, and which he was last year too. So it is more evidence of that, and then more evidence, as you said, Buster's power probably just never coming back. And it doesn't. They talked a lot last year about, you know, he doesn't have protection behind him. Well, now he does, and the numbers are the same. So I think those two, it's probably just who they are at this point.
Right. Can I ask you something, too? Because I haven't got a chance to talk to you. Been on the road. And I'm just fascinated because here we are 50 games in about their outfield situation. I'm just fascinated.
Are we talking outfield defense?
Sure.
On the list of bad things here.
Segue, I didn't even know it.
Title, same old issue.
Okay.
It's not been good. Denard Spanweiser, I believe, was negative 27 or 28 defensive runs saved. Austin Jackson's negative 8. So you kind of extrapolate that.
The numbers don't like, you know, as much as we like Gorky's out,
the numbers don't like
Gorky's.
I think he's clearly their best center fielder. I think now that Mac's back, to me, it's pretty simple. You play Mac in left, McCutcheon in right, Gorky's in center, until one of them proves to you that that's not the way you should go. And I don't know what you do, but, you know, by the time we post this, maybe they'll have made a move with somebody else. Maybe they DL somebody. I don't think they'll DFA somebody, but I think it's pretty clear right now that Gorky's is not a leadoff hitter, and he won't be when Joe Panik gets back, and that's probably about a week away. But if he's hitting 8th and he's your center fielder, he's their best defensive outfielder. No matter what the numbers tell me, I watch every game, and I'm at the ballpark, and I see the jumps these guys get, and he's their best defensive outfielder.
And no offense, he doesn't have a whole lot of competition.
No, he doesn't.
Now, so
Steven Duggar is their best defensive outfielder, but he's not going to be here for a while.
Which is weird that he has like 6 errors in AAA.
Does he?
AAA
stats are just
I'm so fascinated about, if anyone is listening out there and has any information on what those look
like.
And what,
let us know.
Throwing, or if they're weird, just scoring situations. But But yeah, we saw the diving catch that Steven Duggar made the other day in the Mack Williamson home run game. And I know a lot of Giants pitchers are probably looking forward to the day when he's out there.
We thought, I was told in spring training, somebody thought Duggar was going to be on the team just because some of the veterans were like, hey, can you guys put Steven Duggar in the outfield? Like, we could really use that. Maybe if it gets more serious down the stretch and this lineup's really hitting, but it's still a hole. You do what they did with Crawford early in his career and just go, look, just go get the ball. Yeah. You're going to hit eighth. But they are not near that point yet.
It's getting it's getting weirdly crowded in a way. You know, no one's necessarily standing out except for what Mack did before he got hurt. But you have...
like, Shaw's been pretty good, but like not enough to get up here.
You have Austin Slater, who's good, but has had his chances a little bit.
Yeah,
but had his chances, did well, got hurt last year. And then you got Hunter Pence, who changed his swing and is all of a sudden
the
raking.
Swing. Yeah.
So it's kind of weirdly crowded, but like no great answers.
It's not obvious. But to me, it's obvious right now, at least for a week. Play Mack, Gorky's, McCutchen. Go that way, especially at Coors next week. Going to the bullpen, this guy hasn't had a lot of use lately in Hunter Strickland, but I think we should recognize that he's been really good. And the last 3 years, lefties hit .271 against him. This year, they're 2-for-38. So that slider, what he's doing with his pitches, that has changed. And you throw it in there, Tony Watson, 2.14 ERA, Sam Dyson, 2.82. Will Smith, quietly, 10 scoreless appearances. There was one unearned run, I believe, in Atlanta, but he has been really good as well. So they kind of have the makings of a pretty good bullpen. Reyes Marantes has been good. Reyes Marantes, I should say, has been good. Pierce Johnson has been okay at the back end. And Melanson may be on his way back. So that is a group that is interesting to me. They haven't had a whole lot of close games really lately to be tested in, but they've been good. They're a positive.
That is the weird thing. I mean, I think I looked at it the other day, and they have 19 games that have been, you know, 5 runs or more, how Baseball Reference classifies blowout games.
If they're down 6-2 in the fifth inning, they're getting blown out.
It'll be 11-2 by the end.
Because the back end of that, or the front end, whatever end of the bullpen you view it as.
Well, a lot of times, and what we've seen is the starter's been knocked out early, and then Boach will just go with an arm that you're going to send down and throw him, you know, Roberto Gomez.
Hey, Derek, while you're throwing 60 pitches.
Right.
Right. Sorry.
Yeah, and so a lot of those games. Giants have won 9 of those 19 blowout games, so they have been on their fair share of positive
Maybe everybody's doing that now. Maybe you know, we've seen that a couple times from other teams where they throw a guy out there for a while. Who was it, Brooks Pounders the other night? Pitched like 3 innings.
Yeah. Yeah,
so maybe that's just the way of the world. But you mentioned something, the short starts, which is one of the huge negatives. So through 50 games, the Giants...
like, can I be honest here before you jump into it? Because like on TV, we try to be real about what's happening. We try to be real, but we don't want to like be depressed.
Yeah.
And I feel like if we really got into the starting pitching, deep into it right now, that would be depressing.
Bad.
That would be depressing. And
all right, we'll skim the top here and just go with what's been obvious to everybody.
I think our podcast listeners are ready for it.
They're ready. All right, be careful, people. But the most obvious thing has been just, to me, the innings. And it's, you know, these are not guys who get deep. And they had 3 guys who did for so long in Bumgarner and Cueto and Samardzija. Bumgarner and Cueto have been hurt. Samardzija has yet to pitch 7 full innings this year. He did it 14 times last year. So that goes into this stat that I dug up, which is a big issue for him. Through 50 games, Giants starters have completed 7 innings 6 times. They're 18th in the majors in that. So there are a lot of other teams that have that issue.
Okay.
The thing is, the last 2 years, they were 2nd in the majors. So this is something they've done really well the last couple of years, no matter how they've been playing. And it's... you just see it. I mean, we see it with the fact that they carried 13 pitchers in Houston, that Josh Osich came up, because Bruce Bochy just knows that in the 3rd or 4th inning every night he's in trouble.
And the fact that they're, what are they, 18th in that? You said not super comforting, because I feel like throughout the league teams have gone to the philosophy of even if the starter's pitching well.
And a lot of the teams behind him, the rotations are just awful.
Yeah.
And are, you know, just designed to be awful. This is a team that was designed to be different.
Well, who's your quote-unquote ace right now, if you're the Giants? I mean, Holland.
Derek Holland at the moment. It switches all the time.
It was Stratton there. I mean, it was Cueto when he was healthy, but then, you know, when Stratton was pitching great, and then it was Stratton, and then I kind of thought it was going to be Andy Suarez was going to jump up and take that spot, and now it's Holland. So, yeah, I mean, that's... we said it before the year, not to give us credit, but it was obvious that for them to be a playoff team, they needed Bum to be Bum, Cueto to be Cueto, and Samardzija to be what he was last year, which was still, which wasn't elite, but it was still good and above average. And the fact that they're 500 without that, or right around there, is good. But how do you get out of that? How do you make your run?
How do you get through a summer like this?
Correct.
So that's the tough part. This is a good segue. I will be in Sacramento on Saturday night, just as last year. Madison Bumgarner rehab tour.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll be doing that. And on Twitter and on Instagram, Pavlovich, NBCS, we'll be all over it. It'll be fun. I think not just Bum, but he's only going to throw about 45 pitches. But Duggar's there. Pence is there. A lot of guys. Jordan Schaefer's there, that former outfielder.
He's out there
trying to be a lefty reliever now. So it's an interesting team.
So he only makes two rehab starts, right? I mean, come on, right?
I think right now they're aiming for three.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be two. So, yeah. Although, you know what? He is – everybody says he's like Superman. He's also very, very smart, and he's very realistic. And when he threw a breaking ball for the first time in a bullpen session, it was about a week ago, 10 days ago – the next day, a couple days after that, I talked to him, and he was like, they weren't good. Like, those curveballs are not fooling big league hitters. Mm-hmm. So he understands that he's not just out there to throw 75 pitches. He's out there to win. And so I think part of that will play into it. But I do think you look at where the team is and where the starting staff is, and, yeah, they'll probably decide, yeah, Madison, you can get us where we need to go.
But you're right. He did. He came back a little early. He pushed it last year.
He did.
And wasn't quite.
He gave up some homers early, I think. So
in single A too.
Was it Jake Peters?
Yeah.
Man.
2-1 inning.
You know what? I hope that kid gets up with the Dodgers because I know Madison would like to face him.
That would be fun.
Should we end on a positive or a negative?
Absolutely. We cannot end
on a positive. You know what? I have to mention one thing though, and this is another thing I mentioned. The little things, and this is a team that needs to do everything well. I think Ron Wotus has been fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
This is a negative. Oh. Well, it's a positive and a negative. We'll end on this. I think Wotus has been fantastic at third base. There are other issues. They've been picked off the second most times in the majors, which I don't know what's going on there. This is not a team that runs very much. So it's a lack of focus or guys not reading the scouting reports. The pitchers, the bunting has been awful.
Oh.
Awful. And they're not hitting at all. They're last in the National League in pitchers' OPS.
I thought this was supposed to be the positive.
Well, I went south. Two games under. So that, to me, was something I mentioned. No advanced metrics on that. Just eye test. They can't get a bunt down, which has been bad.
But we'll go
to a positive. Madison will be back.
Their pitchers
will be hitting better than anybody.
And another positive, it did give us video of Bruce Bochy with Derek Holland trying to lay down bunts and give him some pointers. So we would not have gotten that without the
They're
struggles.
Putting the work in, and Holland especially is putting a ton of work in coming over from the American League. It's just it's a staff that has not hit at all. And that matters in the National League, and you have to be able to execute a little bit. So
here's my positive too. I'm excited to see this offense. And I was not excited to see last year's offense.
No.
You know? So I think how do you get out of it with the starting pitching the way they are right now? The offense. I think this is a legitimate offense that can carry him at times and get him through some starting pitching struggles. Because, like you said, it's not even like McCutcheon's getting the results, not like Evan Longoria's getting the huge results right now. And they're still scoring. I mean, they had the most runs
Crawford
of any.
Crawford was really bad for a month. He's been red hot for a month.
I mean, I don't know where they are right now, but they had the most runs of any NL West team there for a while. They're neck and neck with the Dodgers.
It's weird. They have the best lineup in the National League West.
Yeah.
And they have no starting pitching right now. Yeah. Or no reliable starting pitching. It's a strange Giants.
They're the Rockies. Team. They're the Rockies
they have
now.
The old Rockies. And the Rockies' starting pitchers are great.
Right.
So,
and they don't hit.
It's very strange. I did say I would end on a positive. So my positive is that Madison Bumgarner will be back very soon.
Yeah.
And his rehab has gone very well. Joe Panik's rehab has gone very well.
Perfect.
He's going to be back ahead of schedule. So this team should be # full squad. Do we still do that? I don't know.
Yeah. No,
we still do
no
full
I, don't
squad?
Think, actually, I don't think
people
we
still
do.
Do that.
But we're bringing it
it'll
back.
It'll be close to full squad. Urol's going to have a couple injuries.
Yeah.
It'll be a while for Cueto. There are other guys who are going to get hurt. But
there are
they'll
other
be
guys.
Much better with Madison Bumgarner and Joe Panik on the field.
There are other guys who are going to get quote-unquote hurt, too, perhaps.
Yeah, let's see what some of these moves coming up are.
Yeah. just seeing him pitch results, you know, withstood is going to be fun.
Let's see who gets IT band syndrome in the upcoming days. Before we go, thank you as always to Wendy's, our terrific sponsor. There were a lot of Wendy's on my 5-hour drive from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh.
Classic double.
So,
with a large fry.
I drove past. I was trying to get through. It's a weird drive. Anybody who's ever made that, you just have to like. I was like, I just got to get through the mountains.
Put your head
but
down.
But I did get to one in Pittsburgh. We always appreciate them for sponsoring us. Right now, ride into Wendy's and try the Southwest Avocado Chicken Sandwich or Southwest Avocado Chicken Salad. The Southwest is coming to you, and it's only at Wendy's for a limited time at participating Wendy's. So that is our sponsor. That is the Giants through 50 games, 24 and 26. We'll see if the next 50 are better.
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably do this again.
Let's do it.
And there's... Yeah, video
we made a video of it, too.
So check out Ahmed's video. He is fighting the man, MLB. He's out there every night saying, and you're right, it's ridiculous.
I'm trying to post MLB highlights on YouTube, which is a no-no. You're not supposed to do that. They don't want you to do that. But I'm
on Twitter, too.
And on Twitter. Yeah. And you've run into trouble with that from time to time.
People have probably noticed. I've been very limited this year compared to last year.
I know. So we're trying to spread the great, as Tim Flannery calls it, the beautiful game. We're trying to spread it to as many people as possible, as visually as possible, and we're handcuffed.
I think you said, you put it the right way. That look, it's, I'm not out there like sending out a clip of a fastball in the dirt. It's like when Brandon Crawford makes a great play and somebody can't watch. We want to send it out there. If Gorky's robs a homer or Mac hits a long homer, and they fight us, and it's weird because you look at what's happened with the NBA and the fact that like 8 guys on every team are trending during every playoff game. It's a huge deal, and part of that I think is because they just said, hey, everybody have everything, put it on Twitter.
Yeah, Adam Silver's been really progressive in that. In fact, is saying he sees it all as promotion, which is exactly what it is, free promotion. And yeah, it's unfortunate. It'll change at some point, probably when all the existing contracts end in 2035, but whatever.
It is what it is. We stick to audio for now. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back soon.
It is out of here in the center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
And that's the perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.